Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan. I feel awfully fortunate to have landed in a career that blends technology, people, organizational behavior, and management science. It's a fascinating stew. One thing that has changed in my time is that 20 years ago, technology was seen as a distinct thing, more of an add-on, perhaps. Today, we can all agree, I think, that technology is ubiquitous, and more of the workforce grew up as digital natives. That's why we're all talking about digital transformation, which is rethinking business models and organizational processes with people and technology as partners. It's one of the things we love to work with customers on at Qubit, but to be successful, we need people like my guest today who are perfectly comfortable in the place where technology, business, and people intersect. I'd like to welcome Jim Miller, who is a master consultant at Qubit, published author, and all-round expert in analytics and machine learning. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, thanks for having me. I really do appreciate you taking your time to talk with me.
So, Jim, I hear you've been quite busy in your free time recently. Why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
Sure. So I've just completed a new book project, and I'm very excited to say that we have a new book. It's called Mastering Splunk 8, which is scheduled to be published at the end of August this month.
Wow. Well, congratulations on the new book. There are a few things I want to dig into, but maybe we should start with this. Perhaps you can educate us on what Splunk is and what it's good for.
Sure, I'll give it a shot. So at a high level, Splunk captures, indexes, and correlates big data, or say machine-generated data, in almost real time, in most cases in real time, and collects it into a searchable repository. And so that means it doesn't require what I refer to as a, quote, formal database, from which it can then generate dynamic, interactive graphs, reports, alerts, dashboards, and super cool visualizations. So again, it doesn't use any typical database to work and is completely horizontally scalable, which means, again, in layman's terms, you can add more hardware, software to deployment, which is seen as a single logical unit. So Splunk can grow and grow and grow and manage large volumes of and different types of data. And by the way, Splunk also has a super cool web interface that provides a very intuitive, easy to use graphical user interface. There's a ton of apps and plugins that are available that provide almost unlimited functionality that you can add to your Splunk enterprise, including something called Machine Learning Toolkit, which I explore in my book, that can be used to perform a variety of machine learning tasks, such as predicting values of certain fields, forecasting future values, identifying patterns, detecting anomalies, and so on. So it's a really cool technology.
So it sounds like it's really an entire platform with a whole bunch of different parts to it. Coming into this, I really knew nothing, and I think I assumed that it was maybe a sort of a language combined with a sort of a database, but what you're describing sounds a lot broader than that.
Yeah, it definitely is a platform or an environment, an approach to being able to manage and getting insights from large amounts of machine-generated data or user-entered data and so on. But yeah, it definitely is a platform and not a scripting language or whatever.
Can you, just to help me understand it, to help our audience understand it a bit better, would you by any chance have a simple example you could share on a Splunk application?
Yeah, some of the obvious answers might be system administrators, network administrators, monitoring logs, to detect invalid login attempts or errors, monitoring system resources for running out of space, for example, memory usage and so on, managing their servers. They can get automatic alerts, Splunk refers to them as, in their emails saying, hey, you're approaching thresholds and so on. So those are the more obvious use cases perhaps, but it really is unlimited and possible areas of the world, industry, business that you can apply Splunk.
So if I'm a system administrator of some kind and I've set up the system that I'm administering to send me email alerts, and maybe that system also generates other log files, I could have Splunk automatically pull all that stuff together and then present me with the salient information, you know, on a regular basis. Is that the kind of thing that could happen?
Absolutely. That's just one small example. And when you say present the information, we're talking about interactive dashboards that are available on a mobile device that you can pop in and monitor. And they're dynamic, meaning there's sliders and other controls, filters and things. So when you see something, you can automatically drill down into live data to sort of detect a problem in before it happens. On top of that, the alerts are the kind of things where it's kind of set and forget, where Splunk can monitor for, say, invalid login attempts, someone's trying to attack a particular server or network, you get an email knowing suspicious activity is happening or occurring.
Wow, that sounds really cool. So let's pivot a little bit. I'd like to hear a little bit about your writing process. How do you decide on a topic like Splunk, for example? And then how do you go about doing the research and creating the content?
Yeah, that's a good question. So usually I'll pick topics that I believe are relevant and interesting in some way to what I see is happening in the industry, or simply just a selfish approach of it's interesting to me in my career. So once I pick a topic, I would say that writing, if you talk to any writer, which I aspire to be one day, they'll tell you that writing is more about discipline than inspiration. So it's really true. Inspiration gives you the idea, but discipline delivers the content, the work, the book. And I draw a line meant to my daytime job, where book projects are very much like any analytical project. They require a proof of concept to sell an idea. They require a requirements document, which tells you exactly what will be delivered in the book, a detailed project plan or outline containing a number of chapters broken down by topic, section, even a number of pages, and finally a delivery schedule which states the dates on which each milestone will be delivered, and most importantly, an alignment on what the acceptance criteria is. So when a chapter is written and edited, when can we call it done? That kind of thing. There's quite a bit that goes into a book, any kind of book, but perhaps there's a difference when creating a technical book. For example, will the book be based on theory, be hands-on, or a combination of both? And typically my personal preference is a combination of both. So you open the chapter, for example, with some theory and opinions, some research facts about the particular topic, and then you go dive into a hands-on exercise or use case showing exactly how the technology can be applied to address that topic or question. The technical book must not only have the typical grammar, spelling checks, those kinds of editing, but also a technical review that ensures what's stated in the book, in your book, is technically correct or at least technically feasible, if it's more concept related. And then any technical book requires getting your hands on the technology. So this is big. So you need a plan for accessing that technology. And what's good today is many technology platforms, including Splunk, now offer open source options or free developer licensing options. And of course, the cloud's always there, platforms that provide a sort of pay-as-you-go contract where you can set up your environment, do your research, testing, and development, so on for your use. Also big over the years, I've been in the field over 37 years and developed a network, and I found that there are many advocates out there who love specific technologies as much as I do. And so they are willing to jump in and help out with technical advice, doing reviews, or even willing to help doing testing of some of your work. So it's great to have those assets, to resources to rely on throughout the development of a book. And finally, I've been able to complete multiple books through my 37-year career, and each one was a ton of work. And the truth is, really important, is it's really about the process and not the product, as which is the value add. And what I mean by that is doing the work, the research, the development testing, the writing, the editing, management of the project timeline, enduring all the critical feedback, and some of that isn't always positive. I was able to develop a quiet confidence in the technologies that I've written about and what I was focusing on, but also in my personal ability to complete. So to go out there and be presented with an objective, break it down into a plan, and then execute on that plan to get the job done. And finally, it's really important to underline that there's really no coincidence between me, my ability to write and have books published in my spare time, and the fact that I have a supportive family, as well as work for an organization like Qubit, which has inspirational leaders, promotes positive atmosphere, reinforces positive thinking, offers support, and inspires creativity. And for all that, I'm so thankful.
Oh, that's great. You make me want to go off and write a book now. Yeah. I mean, you know, and thank you for your comments about Qubit. I mean, from our point of view, you know, we're thrilled that you do this, because we really, you know, want to be a place where experts can grow and develop their expertise and then bring that expertise forward to deliver wonderful results for our customers. And so from our point of view, it really is a win-win that you're doing this and frankly taking it to a whole other level. How many books have you written now?
By my count, this book, when it's published, will be number 10.
Number 10, that's a nice round number. And I know that you are one of the most in-demand and busy consultants at Qubit. So given your, you know, day job, and I can attest to the excellence that you deliver to our customers, how long ago did you start the Splunk book that you're about to release?
So books from concept to publish can take typically about a year. I've taken longer on some books and less on others. This particular book, Mastering Splunk 8, we did it in less than 6 months, but that was really grew out of the whole COVID-19 kind of thing, and you know, lockdown, where we wasn't a lot to do to go on vacation and you know go places and do things. So when the opportunity arose to explore, and I've written, by the way, other books on Splunk. So when the opportunity came up to explore the new features, or the features that came in the latest version 8, I sort of jumped at the chance and took advantage of it. And the development schedule of the book was accelerated because I had more weekends available that we were just kind of sitting at home.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's about, you know, finding a silver lining, you know.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, this has been a great conversation. And just to wrap it up, can you please tell the audience where they can find you as an author, when your book will be available, and how they can buy it?
Absolutely. And today's technologies, Amazon, right, is a place to start. You can Google it, but if you go to Amazon.com and just search for Mastering Splunk 8, it'll come up. Like I said, you can pre-order it. It's due out the end of the month. But there's also, if you click on a follow author, you'll go to my author's page. And I think all my other books are listed there, along with information about what they're about, and then even customer reviews. And so that's the best place to start. Also like to point out that LinkedIn is also a great platform. If you Google me on LinkedIn, I list all my publications and things I've been involved in.
Yes. And on LinkedIn, are you Jim Miller or James Miller?
I'm James Miller.
All right. So James Miller, author and Master Qubit consultant, thank you so much for sharing all this with us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thanks again for taking the time, because I know you're super busy as well.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.